on in. Sit right down. Keep your hands up. Keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
I don't even know where I want to start. There's so many things I need to get off my chest, but first and foremost, CB, what's up?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Is that what we call you? Not CB?
CB, yeah. I guess CB a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What else do you get called? What nicknames?
Baleb.
Baleb?
Yeah, that's what the ladies call me.
Oh, well, all right. Then we won't then we won't touch that one. First and foremost, another, what do we call it? You just went to Jacksonville.
Yeah. You know, you have these
film.
Yeah, workouts, and you do whatever and meet with the team, and they take a look at you, you know, just coming down the back end of the season, and, you know, see what happens. We'll see what happens.
So it's really, they want to make sure that you're in shape, you're still looking good if that time comes.
If that time comes, and they need to call on somebody for the playoffs or whatever the situation might be.
You ready to get back on the field? Or
oh, yeah. Yeah.
You ready to stay on the mic?
The mic is fun. The mic is fun.
Well, I told you when you went up there, I would much rather watch you play on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, I want you here, but I would much rather you play on Sunday.
Definitely. Definitely.
All right. I got a vent.
Okay. Yeah. Let's hear it. Because I got a couple things, too.
And I know that you have a guest coming up, and we can talk World Cup. And again, hypocrites. Yeah. I hate hypocrites.
Same.
It's driving me crazy. So to jump in when I'm wrong, okay? So everybody is saying about Brittany Griner that she's getting what she deserves. She knew she was in a foreign country. She broke the foreign country's laws. And what do you want from us? Mm-hmm. Is that basically what some people are saying?
Yes, some. I would say it's kind of split. I think a lot of people would say, like, oh, it's not fair, this, that, and another. But, again, you broke the laws in somewhere else, and that's the punishment.
And it may not be fair, but you're in another country. You're breaking the laws.
Yeah.
But nobody's doing the same thing in regards to the World Cup.
Exactly.
So you even knew where I was going before I went there?
Yeah. No, it's the hypocrisy, the things that's been going on. Like, there was a commentator. He's an ex-player, really, really famous player. And he took money to go to Qatar and commentate. And while he's there, he's saying the World Cup shouldn't be here. You know, we shouldn't be here doing. I'm like, you took their money. And went over there to go speak and to go commentate. They paid you a lot of money. And, you know, what happened, there was another famous player, I want to say Roy Keane or something like that. He basically, they were like, hey, like, you know, like, why did you come to Qatar? You know, like, why didn't you take a stand? He goes, I've been coming to the Middle East for 20 years. I have relationships here. I have businesses here. I'm not going to now pretend like I don't come here. Like, sure, you can speak on whatever you want to speak on as far as, like, the pay, workers' pay, and all these things like that. But he goes, the Queen of England and the royal family has ties to Qatar. They make money from Qatar. He goes, we get half our energy from England, as England as a country. We get half our energy from Qatar. And if everyone feels so strongly about it being in Qatar, why did you send your teams down there?
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I don't know if you – I try not to listen to news.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, 2 minutes before the show starts, we run the news at the station.
Yeah.
So they just ran some news that said Germany covered their mouths in a form of protest and said, and I quote, human rights are non-negotiable. Well, you're negotiating. You were going to wear the thing or the flag or whatever, and you chicken crapped out.
Yeah.
I get that you don't want to put your team already with the yellow card, which the captains were going to get a yellow card if they did whatever. But then it's negotiable.
Yeah.
If it's non-negotiable, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
I guess some...
They should have been more focused on the game because they lost to Japan.
Yeah.
So they should have been worried about what they should have been worried about.
I guess there was a fan. I don't know where the fan was from, but he got held out of going into the arena because he was wearing a rainbow.
Yeah.
A rainbow over a soccer ball.
Soccer ball, yeah.
Now, people can say, and my son and I argue, you think Matt and I argue? My son and I argue all the time. And he was basically saying that's not... But it's saying, well, that's what it's implying.
That is.
The soccer ball, the rainbow.
Because you gave something, symbolism, to mean something. And they said, hey, the president, we talked about this, I think, last week. The president said, hey, man, just respect our culture. Respect what we do here. And we don't want any problems with anybody. You want to do what you want to do. But don't come and start. And, like, he went and, it was a journalist, I think. And he went and lied and said, I got arrested and this, that, and other. To make it seem bigger than what it was.
Right.
But I will say, for as much negativity as I've heard, I've seen a lot of positive, you know, people saying that, like, these people are lovely. They've been really, really nice, really, really respectful. The only thing that they don't like is that you can't get beer.
Well, and what I've been told is that's not true either. You can get beer.
Not in the stadium.
Only in the words of, I won't throw the person under the bus.
Yeah.
In the words of someone who told me this, only poor people can't get beer in the stadium.
Suites, yeah, okay.
there's beer.
Okay, fair enough.
And I was also told, and again, we don't do any research to verify. I guess you're certain people are allowed 2 drinks a day. And so it's all timing. So the smart, and even he said this, but even the smart person would go to wherever at 11:45, 11:50 at night. That way you're going to get 4.
Yeah.
You get 2. And then the next day starts and you get the other 2.
Yeah, because what's 2 drinks going to do? It's a waste of your time, basically.
Well, so here you get 4.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
But you're right. You're in another country. You know their rules. Whether you like it, I like it, we like it, they don't.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to abide by it. And people are now pissed that they're not abiding by it. But again, back to the Brittany Griner. They're all like, well, you should have known better. You were in the country. You should. That's hypocrites.
Yeah. And it's such a slippery slope when you want to become the moral police and say that, oh, are my values are better than your values or what I think is better than what you think. Because then they you get into this slippery slope where other people can point at you and be like, well, you guys do this.
Right.
You think that's okay? Because we think it's wrong because our religion or our whatever says this. And that you can't get into that battle. You know, like everywhere it needs help. Everywhere needs better thing. Like unemployment is at an all-time low here. People are starving. There's a homeless problem in California and Oregon and Austin. It's rampant. And so it's like, okay, where do you draw the line, right? So I just think that people should enjoy the games, respect people's culture, you know, like be exposed to people's culture. Because I'll tell you right now, Qatar is not the only country that has those laws.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So you're gonna alienate so many other people if you start talking to people this way and approaching things this way, and it's just gonna create conflict that's unnecessary.
If you're in that country.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with anybody wearing rainbows, saying what they want of in course. This country, because we're allowed to.
Yes.
You're not allowed to there.
Yeah.
And when you get arrested, don't come whining that you need help.
Exactly. Because you knew the laws.
I'm more interested in this whole, like, poor people in the stadium part, because that part of the world is people would just throw away Bugattis when they run out of gas.
True.
Who are these poor people you speak of right here?
they're the ones that are only paying $3,000 a ticket, not $45,000.
You want to know something funny that I've seen? And it was, I want to say it was in Dubai. And so in Dubai, apparently, everybody has like a Rolls Royce and whatever it is, like especially the wealthy people. They all have those cars. It doesn't mean anything. What means something?
Even the poor people have them.
What means something is your license plate, right? So this guy's going through his collection. He goes, "Yeah, this cost me $500,000. This car cost me $1 million. That's nothing. This is the one I'm most proud of because my license plate is number 4. So the lower the number you get, the more expensive it is." So he said, "This car cost me $500,000, but that license plate cost me $10 million."
Whoa!
He says the number 1 is reserved for like the sheik of the country, and he's the only one that has the number 1. But the lower the number you get, the more expensive it is. So you pay $10 million for a license plate. How about that?
That's pretty cool. That means I got some value in that thing. I got numbers all over mine.
I'm going to go try to figure out how I can get a license plate with 1 on it.
Mine says 99 on it, like Warren Sapp. I could sell to Warren for $500 million.
No, I don't think that's how that works.
A, that's not going to happen. B, if Warren doesn't just take it from you, I will.
Well, give it to Warren. Warren's not in his prime anymore, so let's just keep it there.
I don't know.
He's not going to catch the car. It's still attached to the vehicle.
It's ironic that you brought up Warren. Do we have time? We don't have time. Oh. So no, we're going to talk about it at the bottom of the hour. We have a guest coming up, and the setup that I have is phenomenal. So when we return, we have a guest. We're going to talk some more World Cup, maybe a little NFL. And then at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to bring up the Warren since you just mentioned it. Coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stop Sign. We'll be right back.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Cal Ripken Jr., and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Larry Boeft, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Okay, we are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. A lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of things going on, but I'm no dummy either. So last week, we had Kennedy on. Remember, yes. Kennedy? Okay, Kennedy. And I butchered the hell out of his last name.
Yeah.
And he threw me under the bus, and he made me, you know, he was victorious Saturday night, though.
Yes.
So maybe saying his name wrong helped
him out. Yeah, give him a little fuel.
But I'm no dummy. I'm turning it over to you.
We got my brother Jude with me.
Hold on a second. I could have done that.
You can't say Jude.
No, I could have said Jude.
Hey, oh, Jude. Isn't that a song? Isn't that a song named Hey Jude?
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm here. We're going down.
Okay. What's going on? Sorry, I was a little I didn't know you wanted me to do the full.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this last week.
Sorry about that. But what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How y'all?
Good. So, you know. Introduce you to talk about yourself a little bit, you know, gas yourself up. Jude played with me in the Bucks for 3 years together. He retired due to some injuries. And after those injuries, Jude started his own company. I want you to talk about that a little bit because I think it's important for people to hear this.
No, absolutely. So right now I'm residing in Phoenix, Arizona, when a former college teammate of mine, we started a recovery business centered around cryotherapy. And pretty much sports recovery modalities to help young athletes and fitness enthusiasts recover. So being that I suffered all those injuries, you know, during my playing career in the NFL, it was always so, you know, kind of felt like the right thing to do was to get into the industry to kind of just help, you know, the next generation of young athletes that are coming up also.
How important is it, and I'm saying this jokingly, but I'm also being serious. I did it once, and I joked around. Well, I really didn't feel anything. That's because you have to do it more than one time, right, to get the benefit of it.
Yeah, you got to be consistent. Jude? Is he still there?
No.
Hey, Jude?
No, he is not. Hey, Jude. Where did you go?
I don't know what that song is.
You've never heard Hey, Jude from the Beatles?
Hey, I'm back. Okay. I don't know
what happened. There we go.
Thank God, because we were singing Hey, Jude. So thanks for coming back and saving
us. Oh, no, not the Beatles song, man.
Wow.
Everybody knows that.
He's going to embarrass me on here. Okay.
Everybody knows that song.
Okay. So, Jude, let's talk about Ghana a little bit. You're Ghanaian, obviously. Let the people know that.
Yeah.
Even though you guys have the second best jollof rice, you guys' soccer team is pretty good. Your football team is pretty good. So you guys got Portugal tomorrow. What are your thoughts?
Yep. I'm super excited, man. I think just like every World Cup, we come in super underrated, being an African nation. You know how that is. But this is a team of young, unproven, really people that really don't have any World Cup experience. So I'm excited. A lot of them are going to go out there and try to showcase their talents. I think Portugal is in a position where they're going to be pressing a lot for opportunities. So there'll be opportunities to get some counterattacks going and, you know, to put one behind the net. I'm telling you, we go up 1-0. It's going to be like the Saudi Arabia-Argentina game. I'm telling you that.
I was just going to say that, and obviously very early, but Saudi Arabia, you know, shocked the world with Argentina. We still have a missing report on Martin and Santiago Gramatica.
Yeah, we might not be okay. Yeah.
We need a wellness check. Yeah, we need to check on them. But, you know, Saudi Arabia shocks Argentina. Japan just shocked Germany 2-1. But a lot of upsets already.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I think that's the nature of the beast. You know what I'm saying? I forgot what I was talking to one of my friends, but it was like, this is much more comparable for ones who don't follow soccer at the NCAA tournament. You know what I mean? All these guys, this is a compilation of professionals now who are playing for more than just, they're playing for their country, they're playing for their families, you know what I mean? So it's a lot more than just what we see on paper with, you know, the parity and talent, you know what I mean? That's why I love this stage. It happens every 4 years, so these kids, these guys, have been building up for this moment, and you know, you can tell that, like, you know, once the whistle blows, that it's anyone's game, and it's making the game very competitive and fun to watch, honestly.
Dude, every year, every 4 years, when we watch the World Cup, or when we see these national competitions, there's always on these teams, like France and Australia and, you know, the U.S., and we have all these African-born superstars, like Mbappe, you know, and Pogba, and all these guys are African-born, and they're playing for other countries. What are African teams doing wrong? Like Boateng for a few years ago with Germany. What are African nations doing wrong that's driving these guys away and having these guys, you know, go play for these teams? Because it's a problem that, you know, back in the day with Kanu Unwankwo and all these guys and JJ Okocha, and we had these stars, and we had good African teams, you know? Like, imagine if... You know, Sadio Mane, sorry. Imagine if he wasn't in Senegal, like how they would have done. Or Mo Salah, if he went to go play somewhere else. So what do you think we need to do to keep our players, you know, in-house?
I don't think it's an issue that can really just be solved through... because what you're seeing is a byproduct of African migration.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, our parents that traveled in the 80s and the 90s or wherever they're made... You know, you mentioned the word African-born. A lot of these guys aren't African-born, unfortunately. They're of African nationality, but they're second generation. You know what I'm saying? Okay. A lot of these guys were born in, you know, like, for instance, myself, I was born in Italy. So, like, growing up, like, you know, I was playing soccer, you know, AC Milan Academy, all of that. I was going to be an Italian on the Italian national team on the under-14 and the under-16 way before I was going to represent Ghana, you know what I'm saying, in that same... level. So I think it's really a byproduct of African migration. So you're seeing that a lot of these guys are just going with what they know. That, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, Koulibaly, whatever, they don't know Senegal. They don't know Angola. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They know Paris. They know the places that they've grown up. So it's a lot easier for them to you know, be able to just justify representing the country that they were felt like they were born in and that that raised them, rather than looking at their heritage and their nationality and thinking like, hey, you know, maybe we should revert back to that. Because honestly, like, granted, you're we're looking at it from that perspective, but if every one of them also did that, a lot of the guys who are bred and born in those same countries, you know what I'm saying, that are born in the Ghanas, that are born in Nigerias, and, you know, go to school, they have a different sense of pride about being from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think they deserve a chance to represent their country as well.
Okay. You know, I never looked at it that way. Makes a lot of sense.
That's a great point.
It's a double-edged sword when I look at it. I see where you're coming from of how much more it would elevate, you know, African soccer as a whole. But people that know, they know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They know. Like, you look at Pogba, he's a French national, but we know where the talent, where the skill, where the genetic, you know, we know where it comes from. You know what I mean? And I think being that it, you know, it could be a double-edged sword. Because even the U.S. team, you look at it, there's some, you know, Latin, Mexican people, Mexican descent and all of that. But that's what the United States is. It's a melting pot.
Yep.
That is actually a great representation of the USA in a World Cup. It's seeing all these different races and all these different ethnicity on one team. So I feel like it could be like that in other countries as well.
It's a great point. So you guys are taking on Portugal, and obviously Cristiano Ronaldo, everything that's going on with him. I call him Ronaldo 2. I call him Ronaldo 2 or Cristiano.
Did you hear what he did yesterday?
Yeah.
What did he do?
When he got his contract terminated.
Right. No, but did you see the photo of him? Now, this is something I would do, but I don't know if it's something you would do.
Okay.
So there's a photo on the day that he is basically released. My son told me this. He's wearing a watch, and the watch is of him scoring a goal against Manchester United.
I love the pettiness.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I love the pettiness. It's amazing. It's amazing. And he's earned it, you know. But my question to you, Jude, is Messi or Ronaldo? I ask everybody who's a soccer fan, who's loves watching it, who is the GOAT to you?
Oh, man. You know, it's always hard for me, honestly. And I always get asked this because, you know, I grew up definitely a Ronaldo, a Cristiano fan. But I also kind of grew up with that in that era before him as well. And I kind of, me and you were talking about it a little bit, but if I had to go with just overall, overall skill, I would have to go Messi.
Okay.
Overall, just if I had to pick one guy to pick on the team of 11 to go win a tournament, I'm picking Lionel Messi. From set pieces to being able to score on free kicks to assisting, making extra pass.
Yep.
Scoring from a distance, making runs, just everything. I think he's just overall going 1v1. I think he's just overall, he's put on together like just a better body of work. But I will say the more exciting one to watch is Cristiano.
I could see that. I could see how.
You know what I mean? If I had to pay money to watch a soccer game and I've never watched one before, I would get done watching Cristiano and say, I've gotten my money's worth. But I don't think he's always playing winning soccer.
Okay.
Let me ask both of you guys this. You know, they're both getting up in age. There was talk, you know, about Ronaldo, how old he's getting and what his next contract will be. Who's the next? Not necessarily to replace, you know, some of the greatest of all time.
Oh, we have those. And me and him have had this debate as well. I think the next two in line, you have a lot of players who are really good right now who are playing and playing excellent soccer. But I think the next, I think, faces of international soccer is Kylian Mbappe is one, the French national. Yep. He had a great game yesterday, scored a goal. Mm-hmm. I think that's to assist as well, created a lot of opportunities. And Erling Haaland, he's Norwegian, if I'm not mistaken. And he's a great striker, great goal scorer. And so it's almost like these two guys are leaving and their replacements came right away because Mbappe can create. He can do a lot of things. Haaland is more a straight goal scorer like Cristiano is. So again, I don't think
I'm going to give you a name. We're gonna look back on this a few years from now. We're gonna revisit this conversation.
Okay.
Jamal Musiala.
Okay.
keep it in touch. He's 19 years old from Bayern Munich, watching this World Cup for Germany.
I seen him score his first goal when he was in Bayern.
He's a generation.
Yep.
He's a generation of talent.
Bukayo Saka, he's amazing as well.
Bukayo Saka as well, yep. But I love Mbappe and Haaland, but when it's all said and done, Jamal Musiala will be the one that we talk about with the Pelés and those people.
Okay, I'm excited for that.
But we'll see in a couple of years. I looked at Matt because I knew what he was going to say, but he's brain dead right now. I knew you were going to throw me under the bus and say I won't be alive in a couple of years to find out.
Yeah, we do our World Cups every 6 months around here. to be a part of them.
What is your plans around Super Bowl? I mean, it'll be a busy time out there. You're out there.
Yep.
So give me a rundown.
I really plan on having everything that I own rented out. House, properties, cars. I'm going to try to monetize every piece of asset that I own to turn it into some type of revenue, because I realize the influx of people that are going to come into Phoenix is going to really help boost the economy. But most of all, I'm just going to use the platform to help network and get back in touch. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities to get back around, the logo, if you'll say, the NFL thing. So it'll be a great opportunity for me, a bunch of, different, agencies, marketing, whatever in town. And, I think we'll see. There'll be a lot of opportunities created, hopefully moving forward. And, my number one goal is just make sure that I have everything available and ready to be rented.
Well, we will be out there. We'll be out there broadcasting all week long. So, I'll get in touch. We'll get in touch. We'll get you involved with us. We'll get involved with you, and it'll be good times in Arizona.
I want to circle back to the very beginning.
I'm not going to die in the next couple of years.
You.
Okay.
I'm just saying, in the beginning of this conversation, when Caleb introduced you and he's like, "Hey, Jude."
When it was brutal, yeah. Okay.
And but before that, like, we always talk about, there's no line in trash talking. Like, there's nothing that's off limits in combat sports when it comes to trash talking.
Caleb, in any sports.
Did you trash talk about his culture of his food? What did you say to Jude?
He did say it fast enough.
I said that he has the second best jollof rice around, which is good. Nothing's wrong with second best.
The first loser.
Nigerians know that.
Is there a line, Jude? Is this fighting words for Caleb and you?
Yeah, it is, but he knows what it's about. It's cultural. It's a little cultural banter between our two countries.
Yeah,
he does it to kind of like help his self esteem about the fact that it's one thing I will say about Caleb and Nigerian culture is that they are really like taking over the sports scene when it comes to, they have really amazing athletes. Really, in all sectors of sports, I'm starting to see a lot of people of Nigerian descent, but he knows that when it comes to the kitchen and, when it comes to the World Cup, they're not really seeing us. So we'll keep taking that in stride and keep taking
it. You know what I found out that just boosted my spirits a couple of weeks ago? The Greek freak, Antetokounmpo, he's Nigerian.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, he was of Nigerian descent. He's Nigerian.
I just found that out, bro, a few weeks ago.
Yep.
That's amazing. That's another notch on the old Nigerian belt right there.
But with how upset you've been lately with Usman,
I needed it.
Israel. But I'm saying you shouldn't have said it, because now bad things are going to happen.
Yeah,
up there.
I know, right? Yeah, we were taking some L's at UFC, Jude. It was rough. It was a rough few weeks for me.
Yeah, it'll bounce back.
Yeah, we'll bounce back. Okay, I got one more question for you based on World Cup. What are your thoughts on the World Cup being in Qatar and all the controversy, and you have all these pundits speaking out about, workers' rights and, the alphabet rights and, all those things like that. Like, what are your thoughts on, that and just the culture that they have there? And like, because I'll tell you where I stand. I think you should respect people's culture when you go there. Everyone's views and point of view aren't your point of view. So I think when you go to somebody's country, you should respect their views, especially when you are making money from that country, when you are taking money from that country provides you energy, and you have a relationship with them, don't then go over there and bash them to kind of make yourself feel better and, stand on a moral high ground. Those are my views on the whole thing. So I think everybody should, go there, enjoy the games, you know what you mean, and like, and kind of just make it a peaceful, easy interaction. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree, and I agree with some of what you said for sure. And I wanted to ask you, like, did your parents grow up? Did they tell you, like, when you go to Rome, you do what the Romans do?
Yeah,
that's exactly how I was brought up. You know what I mean? When you go to Rome, you do what the Romans do. So I agree with you in that aspect for sure. I feel like society now has this way of like wanting a kind of all-inclusive society.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We want to spread like our, you know, what are considered our Western societal norms, and we want them to spread all over the world. You know what I mean? And the reality is that what makes us human is the fact that we are all different, and there are different cultures, and there are different beliefs, and there are different, you know what I mean, ways of life. So I really do agree with you on the fact that we have to learn to accept that when we go to other cultures and other places. Definitely don't believe in any injustice or anything like that that may be going on.
100%.
Do I think the World Cup is the platform to protest that? Yes and no. You know what I mean? I do think that it is a great platform to get awareness out about things that are happening in the world. But I also think that a lot of the people there are just there to enjoy the games, and the World Cup symbolizes unity. It symbolizes, you know, a good time, and I don't think anything should overshadow that. And that's what we need right now, is just unity, love, peace, you know what I mean? So I think that right now that should really kind of like, we should turn down the volume on that noise and just kind of focus on, you know, what positive is going to come out of this. And I think that with that, we just get along better. You know what I mean?
Very well said.
I agree with everything you said. And moving along, Matt always says that, you know, I select what events I go to as to restaurants that are there and food that I can eat. So I need to know from both of you, when am I going to judge the Nigerian and Ghana, you know,
jollof? Oh,
yeah.
Hey, man, listen. Listen, I don't know what the climate is down in Tampa right now with the African restaurant. I don't know if Caleb knows of any, but I definitely know a spot when you come out here to Arizona. So when you Super Bowl week, holla at me. I got you.
So, Jude, I will tell you, I took him to a Nigerian restaurant out here, and he ate a goosey soup. He ate jollof rice. He ate goat meat. He ate pepper soup. So he got the full treatment. But when we get to Arizona,
I gotta bring my side. I gotta bring
right. You have to. And then I'll find an African Nigerian restaurant in Arizona also, so we can do a taste test two different days and see what's
going on. No, we can't even. But wait, we can't even do two different days because I am a professional judge.
Okay.
So I need the same day. at the same time. I need it at the same time.
Okay, we can do that.
Because you know me, I'm not going to remember what I ate yesterday. Yeah, so whatever restaurant we go to last is going to win.
Okay, it's got
to be at the same time.
Now, I'll join in this.
You're not even coming.
I'm coming. But I need to know, do you guys have pizza in your nations, and what kind of cultural differences from regular pizza?
Fufu.
Fufu?
No, we don't have pizza.
Would you call me fufu?
No. It's a food.
Pizza's an Italian dish, man.
You said what, Jude?
Pizza's an Italian dish, man.
Yeah, it's an Italian dish. We don't do pizza. We eat rice and grain and meat.
Do you know where their countries are?
It's not
in Italy.
But all countries like have some variation of pizza, like some modern flatbread or something.
Not really. I mean, like if you go to like a American restaurant, obviously, but if you're eating traditional African food, there's no pizza. No.
Yeah, no. I think that's what's cool about, you know, African culture is it's unique in its own.
Yeah, it's like, African culture. You
know? Yeah, it's unique in its own thing. Yeah, we don't, like, there's no African spaghetti, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's just no, like, African burgers.
I see a business opportunity.
For sure.
We're going back to the motherland.
Let's go. Good stuff. Jude, thank you very much for your time. I'm going to get your address from Caleb. We're going to send you a care package. Matter of fact, you could just walk over to 8 Man Strong because they're located in Phoenix as well. And we're going to hook you up with a care package from those guys for coming on today. And we will definitely touch base before the Super Bowl and connect when we get out there.
Sounds good, man. I had a great time, man. You guys take it easy.
Good to see you, brother.
Hi, Jude. All right, let's go hit a quick break. When we come back, we'll get back to what you brought up about 99 and something that I read on, it was either the Book of Face.
If you ask Twitter, that Black Friday special, that license plate is going for $400,000.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
Hey, Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Brandon Silvera from Nashville Star, and you're listening to Talking Sport with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Jack Del Rio, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Jesus, criminy.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, hanging out, as always, with Caleb, Matthew, Steve, and myself. All right, so you mentioned about 99.
Yeah.
I saw something on, because I'm still able to look at the Book of Face. I'm not able to go live for another
You're
9 days.
Probation?
I'm on probation, yeah, for another, I think, 8 or 9 days. I can go on and I can post.
Do they put an ankle monitor on you?
Yeah, I think so.
Tracker?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
You know what you should do?
Yeah, go to Twitter.
What a lot of the kids do these days, make a Finsta, fake Instagram, but make a fake Facebook, like a supplement page, so whenever you do get banned, you have another backup page.
Okay. Backup. Yeah. I'm going to call it backup page.
There you go.
All right, so you mentioned about SAP. And you and I have talked about this, but I saw something. I know this is going to ruffle Caleb a little bit, so it's perfect. Somebody put on the Book of Face, no disrespect to Kobe, but they think LeBron is the best Laker of all time. If he's the best player ever, how could he not be the best Laker ever?
He's not the best player ever.
Yeah. Well, you know, but, right. You know, the argument, you know, he's in the argument.
I say he's number three. I say it goes Michael, Kobe, than LeBron.
Okay, see, then we can't.
I like that.
And then that nullifies this, because if you list Kobe ahead of LeBron, then that's a moot point. Let's just say that.
For sake of argument, LeBron's ahead of Kobe.
Right.
Number four is Dan Marley.
You know, it's kind of like we've argued this. Mm-hmm. He says this donkey says that Tom Brady is the greatest Buccaneer of all time.
I think that's disrespectful to the people that spent their careers here.
Well, and that's why when you brought up 99, and it's the same kind of thing, LeBron and Kobe.
Like, okay,
and
so let's say Patrick Mahomes wins 6 Super Bowls, then goes to New England and plays there for a year or two. Then you'd be like, oh, Patrick Mahomes is the best pitcher of all time?
Possibly.
It's foolish to say.
Have you seen Mahomes play?
No, listen,
he may be the best Patriot now.
I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be the greatest of all time when it's all said and done. I will put a lot of money on that. But if he plays 20 years in Kansas City, wins a bunch of Super Bowls, and then goes to the Patriots for 2 years and wins Super Bowl, I'm not going to say he's a better pitcher than Tom Brady. Tom Brady bought them,
of course,
6 rings. Like, it's just, to me, it's I think it's clickbaity. I think the person wanted some attention.
Okay, I know? Did. So what?
Yeah.
Why are you calling Matt out?
Yeah.
That's fine. Well, and that was my thought as well. You know, I have LeBron in that conversation as the greatest of all time, but I don't think he's the greatest Laker.
No, not even close.
Now, somebody else posted, if you're going to call Tom Brady the GOAT, who changed teams, mm-hmm. how can you not call LeBron? And my thing was, LeBron changed teams 4 times. Tom Brady did it once. He's been on 2 teams compared to 4 teams.
So he's probably going to be on his 3rd next year, I think.
Oh.
I think he's going to go to San Fran, my personal opinion. But
can we get Jimmy G? We. I hate when I say that. Sorry. I hate. You know, I've always hated that. Can the Bucks get Jimmy G then?
I mean, he's going to be a free agent. That's up to him.
And he is going to.
That's up to him.
A guy that gambled on himself?
Yeah, that's up to him. But I lost my train of thought for a second.
About Brady.
Yeah, so I don't fault LeBron for moving teams. I used to because, again, I'm a big Kobe guy, right? But, like, you know, like, we live in this age where guys move now. Mm-hmm. Like, the flexibility is encouraged. Like, you know, like, you know, go to somewhere else where, you know, because before it used to be like, oh, you're chasing rings. Now it's like, no, like, it's, I kind of enjoy it.
But he did, though. That's why he left.
Yeah, that's what
he left to chase rings.
Yeah, so did Tom.
There's nothing. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, so, like, again, like I said, like, I'd rather great players win championships than you sit in the same city who's not putting enough around you and then just be like the greatest player that never won this, right?
Hey, Gerald McCoy. They didn't put anybody around Gerald McCoy.
They didn't.
And he,
and it's true. It just got stung a little bit. Because I was there with him.
Oh, wow. But, you know, if you remember, obviously before your time, when Karl Malone left and went out west, it was always chasing rings. Yeah, he's chasing rings because he's not winning it where he's at.
Yeah, you know, and it's different.
Barkley.
Especially when you get Barkley, when you get to that echelon of, you know, you're one like James Harden. That's one of his things. Like, it's. He's probably, I put James Harden maybe the 3rd best shooting guard ever. I'd say Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, James Harden.
Reggie Miller.
But Reggie Miller didn't have the game, James.
Dan Marley.
Like, I'm going to send a shirt to James Harden.
Yeah.
So I saw one, and I'm having Tony make it for me. This is for me. But since you mentioned James Harden, I think he would like the shirt as well.
Yeah.
It says, people. Not a fan. Not a big fan.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send it to him.
His would say strippers, big fan.
He's probably making more money being the executive producer of Little Baby's album than he is making playing basketball.
But it's one of those things where people look down on you so much. Like, Dan Marino will never be considered, even though he was ahead of his time as far as passing.
True.
He's never going to be considered in these top quarterback discussions because he has no rings. And so it's like, if you can go get that ring to cement your legacy, because people aren't going to remember in 20 years that you jump teams.
Right.
They're going to remember that you didn't win a ring.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I think I kind of understand it more now, but I hated it at first. But now I've kind of come around to the idea.
I think where people hate it is that he's changed teams so many times.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to go, you know, you want, I mean, it's the same with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he didn't like it here. He went there. He didn't like it there. He went somewhere else. Now, granted, that's only 3 teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, just the whole thing about, you know, LeBron going, you know, this is his 4th team.
Yeah, and he's probably going to end
4th organization.
He's probably going to be at a 5th one whenever his sons come out, because I know he wants to play with them. And, you know, man, like I said, like, people forget that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar moved teams also.
Right.
You know, like, there's a lot of, so your favorite player switched teams. Dr. J moved teams. And you know, Will Chamberlain put on a couple teams.
Well, Dr. J changed organizations.
But, ABA to ABA.
Right, yeah, so I'm saying. But did I shock you that I knew that?
No.
But does it matter if these guys are the talented ones are demanding where they go versus like a guy like EJ, you know, Jackson, who has a no-hitter, played for 15 different major league teams? Like, does it matter the circumstances of like whether the player initiates the trade or whether they were traded because of it's just the industry of what it
okay,
is.
Okay, so that's a great point. I think
it's really not. He's being nice. It's really just, not
because Tom Brady's still a scapegoat.
Okay, so look. I think one of the reasons why players are so amped to say, "Hey, I want to trade. I want out of this situation to speak up," is because for years, teams. I know guys who found out they were traded on TV.
Yeah,
they didn't even get a call or a text from the organization. They found out on TV that they were traded. They didn't call their agent and figure it out. So,
well, that just happened in the UFC. Like, Curtis Blaydes is the backup for the John Jones fight if it's scheduled, and he went on Twitter and goes, "I don't know if this is true or not, but I'll be ready." You know, social media has a way of
which finding, I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah. So okay, yeah, we will. And so like organizations make choices without thinking about the player all the time. And so now we're in a situation where players can say, "Hey, I don't like this. I want to be gone." And I think the NBA is the forefront of that. The NFL is trying to kind of get to that with players kind of, but I think
like possibly quarterbacks in New York.
Exactly.
Yeah. Quarterbacks. that play in New Jersey.
Or a guy named John Elway, the donkey from Denver.
So like, I think the difference between the NBA and the NFL is the NBA, the players are the face, right? You market your superstars. In the NFL, it's the team and the shield. So it's a little bit harder to move as much.
Sure.
Well, because the fans are coming to see Kevin Durant. They're coming to see LeBron James.
Right.
They're not just coming to watch the Lakers. Right. But they're coming to watch the Patriots. Tom left, they're still going to come watch the Patriots. I've loved the Patriots for 20 years.
Is that because you guys wear helmets and you really don't 100%. Have like a face like, to identify with the – it's just a name and a number.
And it's the shield and it's the NFL. But I think the bigger quarterbacks get, the bigger stars they become – I think that will change a little bit, but it's never going to be what the NBA is. No, I don't think so. I think the NFL is more profitable than the NBA.
Right.
So whatever they're doing it right. And I think they're not going to stray away from that. But I think the NBA has their way to market it. It's less guys on the team. It's about our one or two stars.
I agree with you, but I do think that people do go to NFL games to see certain people. They're going to a Kansas City game to see Mahomes.
Definitely. I watch... If I don't watch any NFL game, when he's playing, TV is on.
Me too.
I have to watch him because he's going to do something spectacular.
I normally don't watch a whole lot, but you're right. You know, and somebody made this comment. How is he not winning MVPs? And it's because everybody expects him to do what he's doing.
His first year starting, he threw 55 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. So now they're like, if he does, he's having a down year. He's like, dude, I threw for 40 touchdowns and 4,800 yards. How's that? I went to the AFC Championship. How's that a down year? I think it's one of those things where he's like, he's suffering from his greatness.
Right.
Like, he's so great that like whenever he does something spectacular, because they were talking about Jalen Hurts' best game this year. He had 4 touchdown passes and 300 yards. And they're like, he's the MVP front runner.
That's a normal Sunday.
Mahomes has done that 5 times this season.
It's a normal Sunday. Right.
And when everybody's just like, oh, well, it's just Mahomes. It's like, don't cripple him because he's great. Like, you know, appreciate it and enjoy.
Well, and that's been the argument with MVPs all the time. You know, Aaron Judge just now, you know, won MVP, and everybody's like, well, look at the team around him. No, look at what he's done.
Yeah.
You know, he would have done those same things. He would have hit the same amount of home runs.
Yeah,
the individual sport. I don't even understand the baseball. Look at the team around him. They're pitching to me, and I'm smacking it out of the park. What like
nobody's like, helping me.
Yeah, it's like, not my teammate pitching to me. They don't want me to hit it. What are you talking about? Yeah, that made no sense.
It's an individual sport.
which is typical. I was very happy at who won the Cy Young. I don't know. Do you know the whole story about the Cy Young? We'll save that. Verlander.
Yeah.
Well, do you know that Verlander got screwed out of winning in it the Cy Young a couple years ago?
Because of the cheating scandal?
A makeup call?
No.
Favoritism.
Well, no, he deserved it.
Yeah.
But he's kind of like Mahomes.
Yeah.
He's deserved it numerous times. And I know this guy, so hopefully he's not going to be totally pissed. But when you vote for Cy Young, it's like, you know, first, second, third, fourth, I don't know how far down. This media person didn't put Verlander in the top whatever. He didn't get a point.
Wow.
If he would have been listed fourth, he should have won the Cy Young that year. If he would have taken fourth on his ballot,
yeah,
he would have won the Cy Young.
I should take his credentials.
Yeah.
And so I was happy to see him win it because he's been dominant. Changed teams, yeah. but he has been dominant.
You know, I think we have to, if there's something I like to see, the people who vote for MVPs, I want to know who has votes.
Absolutely.
In all the
leagues. Accountability.
I want you to put your list out so everybody can scrutinize you the same way the players get scrutinized, the same way you scrutinize players.
And
everything should be out in the open.
And credentialed as far as what they've done in athletic field of play.
Yeah.
You got to have some understanding of mechanics of the sport. You got to have some basis of why you're voting against somebody.
Fair is fair.
Yeah.
Fair is fair.
But you don't need to.
I want to know what you're getting paid because my pay is on. Is
public I hate
knowledge.
That. We've talked about that before.
I hate it. But if we're going to put it out there, hey, everybody put their chips
on the table. A media person doesn't have to have played Major League Baseball or Little League Baseball or anything to be able to watch stats.
No, definitely not.
Right.
I don't think you have to play.
Knucklehead is saying.
Yeah, they got to play.
They got to skin in the game.
For you to have an MVP vote, how long have you covered the sport?
Right.
What teams did you work for? Yeah, I don't think you should have to play.
You got to have scars. You got to have scars. Drug burn.
You still think he's good? You still think we should keep him around?
He had two good moments today.
What was the second?
When he brought the...
The food thing. That was the one. What's the second one?
And the selling my license plate for half a month.
No, that was stupid. Right? So he's had one good thing.
But I met my quota. And see, I'm like Mahomes. If I do more than that, you guys see it as mediocre. You see it as, it's just an average day.
No, you get one...
I'm spectacular all the time, Randy here.
You get one good a month, and that's normal. We need you to step up.
I'm ahead of schedule.
The month's over.
I'm already in 2023.
The month is almost over. You had your one attaboy. Since you've been going fishing, Captain over there just walked in. Did you see?
There he is.
Did you see the goldfish?
No.
You didn't see the goldfish?
I did not see the goldfish.
67-pound goldfish.
Really?
What? Goldfish.
I heard they're awful eating, though.
Well, normally that you get them in a bag at Publix.
You know, there's all kinds of sizes and types, but people you know, like in Asia and stuff, they eat them. Just a lot of bones. I heard it's not very good.
Well,
67 pounds. I see this picture.
Yeah, 67 pounds. You might be able to get a little bit of meat or something there. It's always bothered me, and I know you know we only have a couple of minutes, so it's perfect timing that people and you and I have talked about this. Oh, I would never eat.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Whatever that may be, again, goes back to Qatar and. You know, their policies just because we don't live there.
Yeah.
People in some countries eat dog, eat cat, eat frog.
Yeah.
Eat
lizard. You see that billboard. It's like, where do you draw the line? It's like, it's like cow, chicken, fish, and then like a line is a horse. It's like, where do you stop?
Like, I see these videos all the time of people, Americans would go to, China, Japan. It's like, we're going to rescue the dogs from the dog farm and like stop. I'm just like, dude, like, they think cows are sacred.
Right.
So you're mass murdering.
Right,
cows that they love and they find sacred. So then, what makes you right? You know. So it's like, hey, like, again, when there's injustices going on, when there's blatant things that are wrong, that's one thing. But I think we just all should respect each other, respect our cultures, and I think we'd be better off.
I agree.
Yeah,
I killed a whole bag of croutons earlier.
Because I kind of, I saw, I watched this. I'm not gonna plug the show, but I watched this food review show, and this guy travels all over the world, Indonesia and all these places, and. Easter street food, and he's eating horse, jellyfish, like all types of things. And it's like some of it's good, some of it he's like, I don't really know about that. But he's like immersing himself in the culture with these people and learning about them and telling their story. People eat camel, and like
I might have a hard time. Basketballs.
Oh, the testicles. Yeah,
it might be tough.
Yeah, that'd be tough. Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah, it might be tough.
That'd be tough.
I've always said I'll eat anything, and if you're hungry enough, we were almost broke down on Alligator Alley.
Yeah.
I planned on eating his arm. if I'm hungry, I'm eating, right?
I just thought you would get ink poisoning if you ate this one. You think mercury in tuna is bad?
You got to go for the hamstrings,
Is that what it is?
Yeah, hamstrings and the IT bands and the glutes.
Hey,
meat on the glutes.
If I'm starving, I'm eating. I have no problems, doing that. So, all right, 1 hour down. When we come back, we're going to talk UFC.
Yep.
UFC coming to Orlando next week. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the rumored March Jones versus Francis. BKFC last week, a BKFC down in Miami, a couple title fights. The relinquish of what's the belt called?
The Police Gazette.
Yeah, the Police
Gold
Gazette
Diamond.
One was stripped. One was relinquished. We'll talk about that. A whole lot of stuff to go. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Coming to you live from Tournament to Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Song. We'll be right back.
Last night I dreamt of San Pedro.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Warren Moon, former NFL quarterback, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local brand. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.